Good to be back at Emmanuel Chapel. Been teaching on Jesus. People on the bus, you know, they have this question they ask. I ask it of everybody too. What do you do back home? And so when they ask me, I say, I'm a pastor of a church. Oh! So they all find out that I'm a preacher. I don't drink with them. I eat with them. But as they're passing out the wine and the booze and the alcohol, and they're all toasting each other, and Linda and I sit there and say, we love Jesus. We don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't chew. But we love people. Somebody said something on the bus, and they all turned around and said, the preacher's here. And I was glad to be able to report to the whole bus, but I'm not here preaching. I'm here just representing Jesus. I'm no one's judge. He's the judge. So whatever we do, we need to watch out for Him. Hello? So I was able to get my message across from time to time. God is good. The words of Jesus are powerful. They're strong. How many believe that what Jesus said is absolutely essential to our lives? Been a lot of people said a lot of things. Gandhi had some great things to say. But I'm telling you what, none of it holds a candle to the words of Jesus. And these are the words of Jesus. They're very short. But Jesus said Himself that this sentence is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. This short sentence is the essence, the summary, what it's all about, that's taught in the law, not just the Ten Commandments. How many has read the book of Leviticus? It's chock full of law. God's law that He gave to the children of Israel through Moses. And Jesus is standing here in this new age of grace telling us that this one short sentence is the essence of everything that is in the law of Moses and in all of the prophets. How many have read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the minor prophets? All of them, this one short sentence of Jesus is the essence. I haven't sang or preached in 2 weeks, so I'm kind of feeling it. This is the sentence. Jesus said, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. What do you know that as? The golden rule. Jesus said, that is the essence of all of the law and of all of the prophets. It is the golden rule. And probably the most well-known thing Jesus ever said. Almost everybody can tell you what the golden rule is. It is the summit of ethics, behavior, righteousness, and godliness. How many know what a summit is? Sally, what's a summit?
Top peak.
The top peak. When you get to, you're climbing the mountain. How many's ever climbed a mountain? Other than in a car. Huh? I used to bring the young boys from the Eastern Shore where I pastored who lived on flat ground. If they saw a hill that high, that to them, that was a mountain. I'd bring them up to Fort Loudoun, Pennsylvania every year. And we'd go up into Bear Valley. And I'd take them up the mountain. No trail. Nothing but rocks and trees. And sometimes it got like this and you had to grab trees to pull yourself up. But we would fight our way to get to the top. Then when we got to the top, we could look out over the valley. And say, you guys have come to the summit. The peak. The top. And this rule that Jesus set down is the summit. You reach the top of this and you've reached the summit. The summit of what? How you're to behave. Righteousness and godliness. When you are able to come to the place where you do to others whatever you would like them to do to you, you have reached the summit of behavior, righteousness, and godliness. It is a very practical statement of God's love. That is, God has done to us just what He wants us to do to Him. How many of you know God loves you? You? Some of you were pretty. I didn't say it. You jumped to conclusion. Some of you were scoundrels.
All of us.
All of us. Now wait a minute here. Are you judging the rest of us?
Yes. According to the word, yes.
How many of you know all have sinned? And come short of the glory of God. So all of us are included there, aren't we? But God loved us regardless. How many of you have run into some people that are scoundrels? Just a half a dozen of us? How many of you run into some people that you didn't care for? Huh? Somebody that didn't treat you right. God treated us when we were scoundrels. Amen? Kind of weak. Amen?
Amen.
Oh me?
Oh me.
He treated us with love, with kindness, with patience, and forgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah. So He treated us the way He wants us to treat Him. God has treated us as He wants us to treat Him and everyone else. Not just one here and there, but
everyone
else. Hello? Golden rule reveals the very heart of God. How many people know your heart? Know what you're really like deep inside. Only God. But the God, the golden rule here reveals His heart. This is what is in my heart for the human race. I want everybody to treat everybody else as you want them to treat you. It shows us exactly how God's heart longs for us to live and how His heart longs for us to act in our life. It is a simple statement revealing what love really is and what life in a perfect world is like. How many know we're not living in a perfect world? But how many know that God wants us to live like He wants us to live?
Amen.
In an imperfect world. So He tells believers that they are to live as the golden rule dictates while still on this earth. Amen. Before being transferred into the heavenly world or dimension. I know when we get to heaven, everybody's going to be peachy keen, wonderful, righteous, holy. You know it's going to be a marvelous place. Nobody will be out of tune up there. Amen? But God didn't say, I want you to live this way when you get to heaven. He said, I want you to live this way while still here on the earth among all the other imperfect folks. Hello? Four significant facts that set the golden rule apart from all other teachings and make it the summit of human behavior. The golden rule is one sentence statement that embraces all human behavior. That's the first important fact of the golden rule. It is one sentence statement that embraces all of human behavior. Doesn't matter where, when, who, what, whatever. It embraces all human behavior. The fact that all law and all love can be stated in one simple sentence is an amazing accomplishment. I don't care what Gandhi said. I don't care what they say about Buddha. I don't care what they say about the rest of them. Many of their statements are nice, they're good, they're wonderful, but oh, none of them can put into one little sentence the amazing ability of man's behavior as Jesus put in this statement. The simple statement of the golden rule includes all of the law and the prophets. You know, just taking the Ten Commandments said, thou shalt not steal. How many want your neighbor to steal from you? How many want your neighbor to just help themselves to what you say is yours? Brother Donnie, what would you do if you looked out your door and there's somebody down there carrying off your equipment? Oh, bless your heart, Brother Donnie.
That's only because of Jesus.
Only because of Jesus. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Has anybody been hearing any false witnesses in the last couple of weeks? I'm leaving that subject. You all jump to conclusions again. But how many want people to stand looking at you and telling you something that you know is a lie? Is not the truth. I met some of those people. If their lips were moving, they were lying. Jesus is saying, whatever the law says, it talks about human relationships, the law does. It talks about eating. It talks about diseases. It talks about all sorts of things that God said is His law for the human race. And Jesus said, this one sentence statement embodies all of those things. Secondly, the golden rule demands true law and justice. Note the wording. It is not negative and passive, yet it tells man how not to behave. Treat others as you would have them to treat you. It's not negative in what it says, but it yet in its statement, it's telling you what not to do as well. It is restraining our actions. Example, the golden rule is teaching man not to lie, to steal, to cheat, to injure. It is a teaching much more than that. It's teaching all of those things. Don't intentionally injure somebody else. Don't intentionally, you know, the law said if your bull breaks out of your fence and gores a man, then you have to kill the bull and you have to pay for the man's life. That's the law. But if you treat somebody the way you want them to treat you, you'll make sure your bull stays in. Amen. I used to have a neighbor. My church lawn was all nice and green. It wasn't here. It was on the Eastern Shore, so you don't know any of these. My lawn was nice and green. This guy retired from the military and he bought this little farmette, and our piece of land had come off of it, and I had a garden out back and it was nice and green, and you know, and I would look out and there was his goats. He didn't know how to make fence. He couldn't keep his goats in. So I decided to help him out. I got me a .22. And I got me some birdshot. And I loaded birdshot in the back end of those goats till when I came out my back door and they were still clear over at their barn, they would start running. But they learned to stay on their side of the fence. If I had goats and they got out, would I want my neighbor to shoot my goats? No! I did wrong, didn't I? Lord help me. That's been 40 years ago. And I'm still bringing it up. So whatever we want people to do to us, that's the way Jesus is saying we need to treat them. It demands true law, true justice. Number three, the golden rule is concerned with true love and positive, active behavior. Means that we have to do more than just talk about it. It is more than doing wrong, lying, stealing, cheating. It is more than just doing good, helping, caring, giving. It is looking, searching, and seeking for ways to do good that you want others to do to you. It is seeking ways to treat others just as you want them to treat you. So it is an active thing. It's not just passive. You don't just sit in your big easy chair and say, "Oh Lord, I love my neighbor, but I'm not helping him with his leaves." Hello? Excuse me. Lord, I love my neighbor and everything he does, but let him stay on his side of the fence. And I'm going to stay on my side of the fence. I'm not going to share my tomatoes with him. No. I want my tomatoes. I know there's more out there that I can use, but let them rot. No. This is active love. This is actively treating people. It's going beyond. It is searching, seeking for ways to do good to others. Especially those who do wrong to us. Amen? Fourthly, the golden rule teaches the whole law. The whole law is contained in the words, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Who is my neighbor?
Everyone.
Just the guy that lives next door? The one on each side of me, and after that, they're not my neighbor. Hello? Who is my neighbor? Jesus told a little story about that, didn't he? The guy that fell into the hands of thieves on the road to Samaria. And they beat him up and led him by the wayside. And the priest came by, the religious guy, and he saw him. He just scooted on around him. Didn't help him out. It was the Samaritan, the guy that was mixed breed, the half Jew, half Gentile, that came down the road and saw him and took the guy and poured oil in his wounds, bandaged him up, got him on his donkey and took him where he could get good care. That, Jesus said, is your neighbor. Anybody and everybody. It's the Mexican down the road. Hello. It's the Irishman with the temper. Hello. It's those refugees that have no business being in our country. They're our neighbor. Hello. It's the people that live on the other side of the border. Amen. We got in an airplane and we flew from Amsterdam 11,000 miles to South Africa. When we got off, there was my neighbor. Hello. They're our neighbors. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, Jesus identifies them as our neighbors. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as much as you can.
As thyself.
How much do you love yourself? She spoke the truth. How many of you, every now and then, you get mad at yourself and you beat yourself up? Huh? I've never seen any of you coming in here black and blue. You take care of me, don't you? You take care of me. I'm first. You know, there used to be a teaching. Came out in the 80s. It's me. I'm number one. I take care of me before I take care of anybody else. No, Jesus is saying, love your neighbor just the same as you love yourself. Every human being would like to have all others treat them perfectly. Wouldn't you like everybody on the job where you work, your boss, wherever you are, the people down at the Social Security office and the IRS and the FBI and everybody else treat you just perfectly? How many of you have always been treated perfectly by everybody else? We've all been shortchanged at times, haven't we? Anybody here ever been cut off in traffic? Anybody here ever had somebody go by and put the middle finger up? Yeah. And I'm scratching my head and say, what did I? Hey, Jason. Poke your fellow beside you. None of us have been treated perfectly by everybody. How many have even had your spouse? You don't have to answer that. I had a professor in college said his wife worshipped him. She offered him a burnt offering every evening for dinner. Every human being would like to. We'd like to have everybody treat us perfectly, to love and care for us the ultimate degree and express that love and care. The believer is to likewise love and care others while still here on this earth. He is to give earth a taste of heaven. When you meet people, when you walk by people, when you interchange with people, do they get a little taste of what heaven is like? That's the way it's supposed to be. Men who are treated so supremely and get a taste of heaven are more likely to turn to God. When they see us treating them as God wants us to treat them, then they're going to want a little more of what we have. October the 2nd, 2006, typical fall day. Birds could be heard in the distance and little else, except maybe the clip-clop of a horse's hooves and the rattling of a buggy heading down a back country road. It's normally quiet and peaceful in the rolling Amish farmlands of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. But that peace was shattered when the sound of gunfire was heard from inside an Amish school. When local police broke into the one-room Amish schoolhouse, they found 10 Amish girls, 6 to 13 years old, had been shot by Charles Carl Roberts IV, who had then committed suicide. Charlie Roberts was a milk truck driver, serviced the local community, including the farms of some of the victims' families. 9 years earlier, his wife, Amy, gave birth to their first child, a little baby girl. However, the baby girl died after living only 20 minutes. Apparently, his daughter's death affected him greatly, and he never forgave God for her death, and eventually pledged and planned to get revenge. On the morning of October the 2nd, Robert said goodbye to his own two children, put them on the school bus, then drove to the West Nickel Mines Amish school. When he walked in the door, some of the children recognized him. That day, the school had 4 adult visitors: the teacher's mother, a sister, and 2 sisters-in-law. One of the women was pregnant, and when the young teacher saw his guns, she and her mother left and the other adults with the children and ran to a nearby house for help. And call was made to 911. The pregnant visitor was trying to comfort 7-year-old Neoma Rose when Roberts ordered the adults to leave. Then he told the boys to leave. The boys huddled near an outhouse to pray. Roberts had the 10 girls lie down facing the blackboard, and he tied their hands and feet. And Roberts told the girls he was sorry for what he was about to do. "But I'm angry at God, and I need to punish some Christian girls to get even with him." When the state police arrived, Roberts ordered them to leave the property or he would shoot. He told the girls, "I'm going to make you pay for my daughter." One of the girls, 13-year-old Marion, said, "Shoot me first." Roberts began shooting each of the girls before finally shooting himself. When the police broke into the school, 2 of the girls, including Marion, were dead. Neoma Rose died in the arms of a state trooper. Emergency personnel arrived quickly, and helicopters flew the wounded to hospitals in Lancaster, Hershey, Reading, and Delaware. 2 sisters died later that night in 2 different area hospitals. Amish parents tried to console themselves by saying the 5 girls who had died were safe in the arms of Jesus. If you were a parent, if that was your little girl, what would you do? What would be your response? How would you react? The horror of this school shooting was the story the reporters had come to tell about. However, in the hours and days following that shooting, another story developed that also caught the world's attention. The story of Amish grace and forgiveness. In the midst of their grief over this shocking loss, the Amish community didn't cast blame. They didn't point fingers. They didn't hold a press conference with attorneys at their sides. Instead, they reached out with grace and compassion toward the killer's family. The afternoon of the shooting, an Amish grandfather of one of the girls who was killed expressed forgiveness toward the killer. Wow. Charles Roberts, that same day, Amish neighbors visited the Roberts family to comfort them in their sorrow and pain. Later that week, the Roberts family was invited to the funeral of one of the Amish girls who had been killed. And Amish mourners outnumbered the non-Amish at Charles Roberts' funeral. How about that? It's ironic that the killer was tormented for 9 years by the premature death of his young daughter. He never forgave God for her death. Yet after he cold-bloodedly shot 10 innocent Amish schoolgirls, the Amish almost immediately forgave him and showed compassion toward his family. In a world at war and in a society that often points fingers and blames others, this reaction was unheard of. Many reporters and interested followers of the story asked, how could they forgive such a terrible, unprovoked act of violence against innocent lives? The Amish culture closely follows the teachings of Jesus, who taught his followers to forgive one another. Amen?
Amen.
To place the needs of others before themselves, and to rest in the knowledge that God is still in control and can bring good out of every situation. Love and compassion toward others is to be life's theme. Vengeance and revenge is to be left to God. How many others? How many of you want to follow the pattern of Christ? Paul said in Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation, without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Paul in Romans 13:19 said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 15, Paul said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. In Galatians, Paul said, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. One sentence. Do to others even as you would like them to do to you has to do three things. Demand true justice. Insist that men be treated justly in all situations. Includes Real love insists that men actively do good and even go beyond and do more than good. And thirdly, teach the whole law. Insists that men do all that the law teaches. Do you love your neighbor? How much do you love him? As much as yourself? The individual that does you wrong, do you love them? How do you treat them? When they go by and make obscene gestures towards you, you shake your fist at them. I heard the story of somebody pulled up behind a car that had this sticker on the back of the car: "If you love Jesus, honk." When the guy pulled up behind them and lighted change, the car had moved and they started honking. What they got out the window was a fist. "If you love Jesus, honk." Wasn't a good testimony, was it? Rather, it would have been good. Hey, neighbor. How much do we love our neighbors? How much do we love what we need? How much do we care about fulfilling all of the law and the prophets? You know, when I read Leviticus, I said, "Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. This is a whole lot of stuff." Jesus put it in concise. Do to others what you want them to do to you. That's true love. Would you stand? How many of you have trouble with somebody that you're dealing with? You're a Patriots fan and they're a Steelers fan. Boy, it just gets much worse than that, doesn't it? You got somebody on the job that just grinds you. You got a neighbor that you just There's somebody in the family you can't stand them to be around. Do to others what you want them to do to you. That's the law of Jesus. And that's what He commanded us to do. Now I realize there are times when you have to use wisdom and understanding. There are times when the guy standing on the street who is begging for money, all he wants to do is use it to go buy booze. You're doing him a justice not to give it to him, but to invite him into a little cafe and say, "I'll buy you a sandwich." That's what you would want them to do for you, isn't it? So there are times when you have to use wisdom. How many know? I've been there. There have been times when I've tried to help somebody and they just didn't accept. They wouldn't take it, or they would take advantage of it. Hello? So we have to use wisdom and understanding in our relationship with mankind. But Jesus said this one sentence is the essence, the apex, the sum of human behavior. Just imagine if everybody treated everybody the way they want them to treat them, we wouldn't have any more wars. We wouldn't need to hire any more policemen. There would be peace. There would be happiness in the world we live in. We can't do anything about the whole world, but we can do something about the world we live in. Amen. How many of you right now would just bend over your seat? Say, "God, you know my heart. You know my heart. I've got a quick temper. I don't put up with
people that treat me badly very well. You know, Lord, my soul, my heart, you know me, I say things in time pretty quick and don't guard my words. Jesus, I really want to be your ambassador. I really want to be what you want me to be. And so, Master, just like the Amish, I'm ready to forgive at an instant. I'm ready to overlook the shortcomings and the failures of others. And I'm ready to lend grace. I'm ready to lend kindness. I'm ready, Lord Jesus, to do to others just exactly what I want them to do to me. I want to be a fulfiller of your statement. Humbly, Lord, seek my heart out. Cleanse me. Purify me. Make me the example of what you want me to be. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's easy to like you.